going to quote one of the most venerable of homiletic sources, a 1960s rock and roll song. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season,
turn,
and a time to every purpose under heaven. That was by the Birds. I was completely clueless at the time that we were quoting scripture, and that the one to whom we were to turn was God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think our second reading today provides a hint as to the time and the season that this is for us right now. Paul writes, "For many, as I have often told you, and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ." Ooh, that's harsh, isn't it? Many, he says, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. And how do they do this? Their end is destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is their shame. Don't we see so much of that? People are seemingly proud of what is defiling. And this is what really caught my focus all week. Their minds are occupied with earthly things. Now he's speaking to the redeemed. Our citizenship is in heaven. From it we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will change. This is the promise. He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body. How does that sound? Your lowly body being conformed to his glorified body. Is your mind occupied with earthly things? Inappropriately so. Occupied with appearance, occupied with pleasure, comparing yourself to others, with things proper to this short life. I'm not talking about doing what we need to do, be responsible. Things more proper, are we obsessing and focusing too much on things more proper to this short life than the one that will last forever, for which this is just a short preparation? Now, doing so is understandable for those who don't know better, but not for us, born again in the Holy Spirit, not for us, sons and daughters of God and filled with his Holy Spirit. In the words of the second reading, do you want Jesus to conform your earthly body to his glorified body? Now, in this life, in your circumstances, in other words, do you want your mind to be more occupied with the things of heaven? Just for the record, that does not mean you live in some imaginary la-la land that is merely an escape and denial of reality. Being more occupied with the things of heaven does mean this. Do you want to see your life from God's eyes? With the perspective of his heart, with God's truth and God's beauty clear, with compelling knowledge of your mission in this life. You want your mind to be more occupied with the things of heaven. takes a spiritual mind to understand the question. A mind through faith made alive in God. There is a time for everything. There is a season to turn to God. The season for equipping yourself to be more aware of heavenly things is the one we're in right now. Disentangling ourselves from undue preoccupations here so that we might be more aware of what is to our true and eternal good here and in heaven. Our first reading again helps us to do that. Our first reading shows us the importance of sacrifice in our relationship with God. It shows us thus the importance of the Mass. But hey, what we're doing right now, why don't we just spend our time singing in worship or delving into the richness of the Word of God? Those are good things to do. A lot of Christians spend most of their time doing that. What's with all the ritual and prayers only the priest can pray? There is a reason. It's because this is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It's a sacrifice. Because I am leading, but we are all together communally making a sacrifice, an unbloody one. We're making a sacrifice to God. Because as we see in Abraham in our first reading, sacrifice is the biblical model for worship. It says, the Lord God took Abram outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. Just so shall your descendants be. God was making a promise to a man who hadn't had a son at all until very late. Look up at the stars. I've been in the desert. It's like being up north. Can't you imagine some summer night up north? Lord Jesus, may that come quickly. Away from the city lights, clear sky. It's awesome. It's even more clear in the desert. Look at the stars. So shall your descendants be. And Abraham, the Bible says, put his faith in the Lord. But then Abraham said, O Lord God, how am I to know this? Don't we say that? The Lord's made these promises to us, to be with us, to hear our prayers, to give us health and healing, to help us be a witness. Make us full of joy. Hey, Lord, how do I know this? How do I know it's for me? How do I know it's now? I know you really mean it. I can really rely on you. And the Lord says in response to Abraham, bring me a heifer, a goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Make me a sacrifice. The Lord said, and Abraham, the Bible says, brought him all these things, split them in two. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. It was in the sacrifice that the covenant was ratified. I'll not only give you many descendants, he said, but I will give them this land. God has made promises to you that are greater than the promises he made to Abraham. It was in Abraham that Jesus, I mean, that the Father was foreshadowing, preparing for that action in Jesus. That covenant has been sealed and upgraded. We're his sons and daughters. He's promised us the whole inheritance of heaven. He's promised to be with us and filled us with his Spirit. Now these are real things that change everything. And they're sealed with a sacrifice. Sacrifice that Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac only foreshadowed. The sacrifice that the Father provided on the altar of the cross in his Son Jesus. The sacrifice that you and I are participating in right here. Right now, the making present that most important time that the earth has ever seen. So it's natural, even appropriate, for us at times to say, Lord, how am I to know that I possess the fruit of your promises, that they're for me, that they can make a difference, that I can trust them. And to us, the Lord does not say, bring me a heifer or a goat or a pigeon. He says, bring me the sacrifice of my Son. That's the reason this is a weekly obligation. Because of its absolute centrality to our experience of acquiring all that God has given us. This is our covenant ratification of the promises of God. This is the season for equipping yourself to be more aware of the heavenly things. Ask the Lord to help you be more aware of what you do in this Eucharist. You're saying yes. That's what it means to come forward. That's what it means just to be here and participate. Saying yes to what he's said, saying yes to what he's called you to do, and receiving the help you need to do it. Be more aware of heavenly things. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain. It's one of those instances that always humbles me that Jesus took so much time to pray. Jesus spent the night in prayer. Jesus went off to a lonely place to pray. Jesus went into the desert for 40 days. Jesus went up the mountain to pray with Peter, whom Satan desired to sift like wheat, with John, who would endure, the only one of the disciples, at the foot of the cross. James, part of that inner circle, who was sleeping as Jesus sweat blood in Gethsemane. His closest circle went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothes became dazzling white. We have this occurrence in three of the four Gospels, and one of the Gospels says his face shone like the sun. His clothes were like white light. For a time, Jesus, his divinity, his glory was uncloaked. The way that his human flesh veiled, his real identity was removed, and the disciples saw who Jesus was and who it was they were dealing with, and the glory that was his from ages beyond, beginning with the Father. They had an experience for a time. They had a mountaintop experience. Are you familiar with that expression? We use it for not just religious things, secular things. A mountaintop experience is a peak time, defining experience. Well, this is the mountaintop. This is where the expression comes from. They had the first mountaintop experience. And God has these times for us. That's why we take extra time to pray. That's why we make a visit to the church. We arise in the middle of the night. We go on a retreat to see things more clearly. They went up the mountain. You can't live on the mountain. You have to come down. But you can learn things on the mountain that you can use when you come down the mountain. About who Jesus is. About his glory and beauty. Because the Father wants us to know the marvelous older brother we have. Jesus was transfigured. We know that the Eucharist is transforming. Church teaches that we become what we consume. It's marvelous. Not if we do it thoughtlessly and distractedly, but when we do it in faith, we enter into the reality. Second Vatican Council said the Eucharist is the source and the summit of our faith. It's the fuel that we need to go on. But it is also the height itself. Like the Mount of Transfiguration, it is the height. It's God himself, his body and blood. We are one with him then. This is the season to become more aware of heavenly things. Then the Lord said, "This is my son. Listen." Of all the things that God could have said when Jesus was uncloaked, the Father said, "Listen to him. This is my son." That's harder than you might think to do. I think I've shared this story before. It seems appropriate again. One of the last times I spent with my father, we had 4 or 5 days together up north. We were on Whitefish Bay, Taquamenon Falls, Whitefish Point, going through the little town of Paradise. We stayed in Paradise. It was a windy day. The wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald was just around the corner into the bay. But it was a very windy day. Lake Superior, the waves get bigger than any other of the Great Lakes. And we were walking on the Lake Superior side. Lake Superior's up here in Whitefish Bay. Comes down like that. We were right along the Lake Superior side, and the wind and the waves were so loud that I was right next to my father, and even if I put my hands like this and talked right into his ear, shouting, sometimes he couldn't hear me. It was that loud, just the wind and the waves. And then, this is phenomenal. We just turned the corner. Turned the corner, got out of the wind. I mean, it didn't take more than a minute. And we were protected from the wind, and the water was very calm, and we could talk in an ordinary voice. I think a lot of modern life, a lot of what the confusions and the anxieties, the pressures, the busyness, the cell phones, the media, the constant noise makes trying to hear God like shores of Lake Superior with my father. God shouting. And still there's too much noise to hear. So what do we need to do? Get out of the noise. Get out of the noise. Whatever that might mean, to quiet the distractions so that we could listen to this tremendous advice that was given to the closest apostles at this most revelatory time. Now, what are you doing this Lent to turn that corner? We got to listen. That means extra prayer. Carve it out. Maybe something you can't do all the time, but you can do for a period of time. Because of the prize, because of the goal. Self-denial. Give up something you love to train your heart to choose something greater. Works of charity. Training yourself to be more aware of the things of heaven. There's a long list of possibilities in my blanket article last week. If you didn't get it, ask me. I'll give you another one. If your Lenten practices are inspired and decided, then persevere. If they're not, still have time to get serious. Do not let this opportunity pass you by. Otherwise, we run the risk of the things that we prefer instead, in the words of our second reading, being our shame. What a tragedy that would be. We learn to listen through prayer and self-denial. We need habits of saying no to ourselves so that we can say yes to God. We need to listen so God can transform our lowly body to be like His transfigured Son. We need to enter into the reality that God's promises are sealed for us in this Eucharist. So that we can think not just with the mind of earth, but we can learn to think with the light of heaven.